I was in the same boat. I'm up here. I'm like, I'm so close to this thing that if it comes for me, whatever it is, it's going to get me. So I'm like, I'm on this little pit bike. Like I'd have to fire it up and try to get down this mountain as fast as I could. There wasn't an option for me. So I yelled at it several times and it didn't do anything. And then it stood up and I pulled the trigger square on its chest.
The history of our Earth is so different from what we can imagine.
Enjoy the journey.
The Smithsonian, that if they found out about a large skeleton somewhere, was to go get it.
I'm going to assume at least one person is right, because if one person's right, it busts the paradigm.
It all goes back to the fallen cherub. And the problem with the modern day church, they have a very truncated view of the supernatural.
This backdrop that's just pregnant with all kinds of meaning associated with this Mount Hermon event.
And this guy defects from the kingdom. That's a big deal.
All right. Welcome back to Blurry Creatures, Luke. If you're
all right.
On the hill,
all right.
If you're on the hill, Luke, and you're standing there, you're just out trying to relieve yourself on a morning hike, and you see.
Why does it start like that? maybe I'm just walking to see the sunrise.
Okay, maybe you're walking to see the sunrise, and you see this large mass coming up the hill. What do you do? Are you packing heat? You're probably packing heat.
Yeah. I mean, how large? I mean, large to us, you know, you and I, we're bigger guys. That's a big something coming over the hill. I don't know. These situations are fascinating, right?
What happens? What do you do? Do you shoot it? Do you run? Do you crap your pants?
Man, just
all three.
You're just invited to share some of my cold coffee with me, and you know, we sit down and have a chat. You know,
you just give it a tuna fish sandwich, like Calvin and Hobbes.
That's a good pull. That's a good pull, my friend.
You like that one? So today's episode, we talked to our buddy James, who was actually their cousins listening to Blurry Creatures, and they were just having, you know, old family chat. And this is how it goes here. People just start talking, and then they go, hey, actually, I had an encounter with Sasquatch that's pretty unique. He got it in his sights and pulled the trigger. So we are going to dive into his story. And it doesn't end there. It gets pretty serious. Kind of, this has all the elements of, like, the rumored Sasquatch stories where people find out and people want to know, and then next you know you get a knock on your door, and that is terrifying to go through.
This story James has been kind of been sitting on for, you know, much more than a decade, and I think it leads credence to the validity of this, right? He asked we not use his real name. This is a multi-tour combat veteran, a lifelong hunter, and someone who
first responder,
who was a first responder, someone who's been very reluctant to share this story, but as you said, got coaxed out of the woods, if you use that metaphor, you know, by some friends to come and share it with us. And it's one of those fascinating stories that I think all of the signs point to this really actually happening, and it really really follows an arc of what you hear about situations and stories that follow this trajectory. And so we're grateful to James for spending time with us today. This is a wild one, so buckle up. It's everything that you're going to hear to me rings like that. This is a real story that the powers that be did not want to get out and to be shared.
Yeah, and it's cool that he asked all the people that were involved in the story if he should say it or not, and even the people that, you know, his family that listens to our show. People don't want to share these stories. And I think the thing about you and I, Luke, is we built this platform over 4 years now. So people feel like, hey, if you're going to tell your story, tell it there. And I appreciate that about our listeners and the fans of the show who feel like this is a safe place for your stories, you know, because I really do believe it is. We listen to everybody and you can tell your story here. You know, it might take us a while to process your story. Sometimes stories make sense that we hear here like 8 months later, a year later. Like, remember when we heard that story? That makes sense now. And at the time, when you hear it, you're like, oh, man, that is wild. I don't even know. Is that true? Like, if that's true. So that's what I like about this space. And I think it's taken a long time to build this kind of trust with people. So take this one, kick it around. Who knows? You might be hiking one day and you might be faced with this situation yourself. So, I hope you're there with me, Luke, if it happens.
Yeah, because I hope I'm faster than you are. And I think possibly I am.
You ever seen a scared ginger? Have you?
No, that's right.
You take off down the hill. Luke's like, Luke and I hike Machu Picchu together. Now we got to go find Squatch together.
And you almost lost your life on the Wine of Picchu. Let's go find the big guy.
I did. Appreciate you guys. We're going to keep this one on the main feed today. If you want to listen to more episodes like this, this is just a little taste of kind of the things that we released, but we thought I'd give you a little insight into people's stories. We have a lot of these types of stories in the members space. You get your own private transistor feed. It comes right to your phone. You can just listen to like all the episodes in one convenient location, access to all the other members' channels, and you get tickets first. And we're doing more meet and greets. We got a meet and greet coming up, hang out with members, a live show with Ali Siadatin coming up too on the 25th. So come on in, become a member of the show, get all the juice. Let's talk to James about his encounter with the big guy.
Let's go.
I was just saying, you know, we've been doing this for 4 years. We've heard a lot of crazy stuff. You know, we've interviewed some, I mean, the weirdest stuff we've interviewed is people that have like either worked for the government and go underground. Or they go into those facilities and they see stuff, or people who've been like through satanic ritual abuse. So don't feel like what you're going to tell us is the craziest thing that's come on our show. I know it's crazy, but I just feel comfortable, our listeners and us, and we've heard a lot of wild stuff. So appreciate you, man. Really do.
I just don't want any brought on to me because of this. It's the only thing I don't want.
Perfect, man.
We can change your name and we can change your voice even if you want.
You don't need to change my voice. Just my name would be great.
Okay.
If that's cool.
Your connection is a little bit cutting in and out.
Bad.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
That's because I'm in Southern Oregon.
Okay.
It's because I'm in Southern Oregon and there's not very good service here.
Well, you sound pretty good there. Yeah.
You're good right there. So what I'll do is if you say something and it doesn't come through, we'll just ask you to repeat it if that's okay.
That's totally okay.
So what would you like us to call you? You got like a cool, like, you know, like a cool name?
We'll call you James.
Just call. Yeah, that's fine.
James.
That's fine. That works.
What about
that
Chaz? Works. What about Chaz Michael Michaels?
That works.
We've got Chaz coming in from Southern Oregon.
George Michael would be good.
George Michael. Dude, that's like, you're talking about an Arrested Development?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Also, also Wham. Yeah, of course.
If Luke had his way, he would call you Dick Trickle from the NASCAR.
Dude, one of the legendary NASCAR racers.
That's a legendary name right there.
Dude, indeed. Actually, I tried to get Nate to make me a an old 80s throwback NASCAR shirt for old Dick, but it hadn't happened yet.
As you can see, we have fun here.
Yeah, if you're ready to roll, we can just get into your story here. If you're good to go,
let's just go ahead and roll it.
All right, Luke. We got a great one today, everyone out there. This is when we started this podcast, Blurry Creatures. We were talking about Bigfoot. We were talking about the stories of sightings. We did the history of Bigfoot in two episodes, episode 1 and 2 on our podcast. And little did we know it was going to launch us into a lot of weird, crazy spaces. But we go back to this topic a lot. We talk about the big guy. And over the years, we've heard some stories about Bigfoot from, you know, telepathically communicating to people and all the weird stuff that goes with Bigfoot. But every once in a while, you hear a story that sort of is unique and different. And we got James on the podcast today, and he had one of those Not only do you have an encounter, but we'll let you tell the story. But James, thanks for coming on our podcast. We ask everyone at the top of the hour, what are your thoughts on Bigfoot? But this is all about Bigfoot. So
yeah, so let's do this, James. What were your thoughts on Bigfoot before the story you're about to tell us? What were your thoughts before you had your encounter?
So I grew up in Southern Oregon, you know, Southern Oregon and Northern California. For those of the people that everywhere you go, there's Bigfoot memorabilia. I mean, t-shirts, keychains. I mean, every trinket store has the stuff. I think it's a lot of people believe here. I think that a lot of, and I'm not saying that I believed, I did not believe, but I did grow up, you know, with my cousins and stuff, hunting Sasquatch, as you would say, as we're running through the woods and stuff. But, you know, ever since my encounter, you know, my outlook's changed. I've really dug into it. And it's actually fascinating how many people have had encounters in this little part of the world, especially logged.
James, it's funny. Nate and I are both from Northern California originally. So I'm very familiar. I grew up in Chico and Nate's from Sacramento. So spent a lot of time up that direction between, you know, way up in Northern California, Yreka. I spent a summer working at a summer camp called JH Ranch. It's way up there. Family that live outside of Medford and Eagle Point. Used to go to Bend to go snowboarding in college, went to Mount Bachelor, those kind of things. So very familiar with the area you're talking about. And just for reference, that's where me and the Big Red over here, we cut our teeth in NorCal. And we know my grandmother actually is from Happy Camp, which is really adjacent to where the Patterson-Gimlin film happened.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm right in between the Happy Camp and Medford. I mean, dead smack. So
okay,
put it into perspective for you.
Right on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up believing or anything. You know, I just spent my entire childhood in the woods and, you know, I worked in the woods guiding hunts and I also have done wildland fire and all that stuff. But yeah, that early morning, something unexplainable happened to me. And I'll just say that it's been buried for probably 15 years and now it's resurfacing. So I guess I'm here to talk about it.
We appreciate that, man.
Yeah, good to have
you. Just take us back. I mean, give us all the details you want and just give us that morning and what happened after.
So yeah, I was going to college at Oregon State at the time, and I would drive home on the weekends.
Go Beavers.
That's it.
Yeah.
Drive home to hunt, and I had what's called a Honda Z50. It's just a little kid's dirt bike. Mm-hmm. And it was just for fun, like ripping around with friends and stuff. But Oregon, all this logging company is gated. So in order to get past the gates, you either got a hiker. And I realized I could get that little dirt bike underneath the gates and get into some really remote country. And I had this goal to get to this top of this ridge several miles before daylight. And so I'm cruising up on this little dirt bike and I didn't have a bear tag in my pocket. I just had a deer tag and yeah, I was kind of cresting the top and the sun was just starting to come over the hill. And what I thought was a bear, I stopped and I took a picture of it with the cell phone from, you know, that era. And then I got scared and realized it wasn't a bear. So I'm looking at it and I was so scared. I actually ejected a round out of my rifle and put another one in. So I had a round laying on the ground and this thing was probably 70 yards away tops, but it was coming over the ridge and it had its arms on this log. Like it was coming over, it was about to climb over this log. And I started yelling at it and it didn't move. And I could see its face. I could see it had no neck and I could see it looked very fit, you know, big arms.
What does face look like?
Just human-like, real human-like. It didn't have much hair on its face, but it was real black. It was kind of,
wow.
I don't know, almost looked like an animal that had no fur, like it had been rubbed off, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
do you see his eyes, or is it like dark? Are they like black eyes, or are they like human eyes?
Trying to remember. I mean, I would say they were black. Yep.
And what was the color of the skin? Was it like a lighter color or the same color?
No, it was all black. It was a blackish color. It had like a reddish tint, but that picture doesn't depict it actually. Now that I'm remembering, but
so you bust out your flip phone.
It wasn't a flip phone. It was like a new era, you know, of the original like Samsungs or something like that. It was like just past like the BlackBerry stage.
Okay, yeah, like a Sidekick or I'm trying to remember what they even had.
Palm Pilot.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember. But what was fascinating was that this thing was just as surprised as I was, and I could just remember it it was kind of sitting on a log, and it had its hands on this log, and it was kind of moving like left to right, like trying to decide what it was going to do. And I was in the same boat. I'm up here. I'm like, I'm so close to this thing that if it comes for me, whatever it is, it's going to get me. Mm-hmm. So I'm on this little pit bike. Like I'd have to fire it up and try to get down this mountain as fast as I could. There wasn't an option for me. So I yelled at it several times, and it didn't do anything. And then it stood up, and I pulled the trigger square on its chest.
What were you shooting?
A 30-30. Mm. Yep.
It's a big round. Yeah.
You know, it's a respectable deer round. It's the round that won the Wild West, but
that is.
So I pull the trigger, and this thing just grunts, just like a loud, just, and I'm a first responder. Sorry, I can only turn it down so much.
Oh, you're good.
So, so it does this, and it falls over the log. And then it stands back up. It looks at me, and it turns 180 and runs over the hill and disappears. And I panicked and got the heck out of there.
So you are deer hunting though, right?
Is that
what you're doing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Dude, so it takes a 330 round to the chest and just pops back up and takes off.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So it turns around and it runs over the hill. And I immediately for whatever reason, I picked the shell up that ejected out of the ground, and I put it in my bino harness, and I still carry it to this day. But so I get off the mountain as quick as I can, and I go back to like my staging area, which was my uncle's house. And he logged his whole life, and I told him, I'm like, I just cannot believe something weird just happened. And he immediately just starts opening up about experiences in the woods. And then my cousin was there too, and that kind of was the end of it. Like I went back to Corvallis and sent the photo out to some people. I had that one photo, sent the photo out. And then these Bigfoot hunters, and I don't know if they're part of the BFRO or what, but they went looking for it. The story started getting out, and then the picture erased off of everyone's phone that I had sent it to. Gone.
That's weird.
Gone. I was living with my girlfriend at the time, gone off her phone, gone off everybody's phone. And like a month or two, I don't remember the exact timeline, had went by, but the BFRO, which it's funny because I got turned in by a guy that was part of the BFRO, and he had his concerns that I had, you know, shot a person or something, and he had turned me in. So I started getting calls from the FBI.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah. So they wanted to do an investigation on this whole deal. So now I'm freaking out because I don't have the photos. Like, you know, my family's freaking out that I could. And at that time, marijuana was a really big problem in Southern Oregon.
Yeah.
So, you know, my family's thoughts were maybe you shot someone in a ghillie suit. That's not easy to talk about, but it's kind of crazy. So, you know, I had no choice but to meet up with these guys and do this investigation.
Because you didn't want to go to prison.
Yeah.
How did the BFRO get your info?
I ran my mouth and told too many people about it, and it's like wildfire.
Yeah.
So that's the truth to that. So it's kind of funny because this whole thing happened. So I'll just go through the whole story.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't want to go down there by myself. So I recruited some friends as witnesses, because you're like, dude, you're getting involved with the government. Like, this is crazy. So we go to my uncle's house. My uncle's there, my cousin, I have friends, and they roll up in black SUVs, and they roll up with a state entity with the side by side, and they call me out to the street. They put me with the police officer, and they go to the gate, unlock the gate, and they take me. I don't take them. They take me to the location.
Wow. They knew where it was?
Dead within 50 yards.
That's crazy, man.
But they don't let me talk. So I'm with the state entity down the hill, and these guys are up the hill exactly where the thing was at. So they had obviously somehow like pulled like GPS location off the photos. I don't know how else. I've thought about it in my head a million times. And they had this huge picture of what I had completely blown up when they were looking at it. And it was like crystal clear. And my picture is super grainy.
What?
And they're up there and they're walking around and I could hear them kind of talking. The noise is echoing. And I'd heard them say to one another, we've had several other similar instances just like this up Mount Ashland. And then the cop was like, yeah, I've had to do a search and rescue where I've seen several tracks in the snow that are unexplainable, that are very spooky. He was telling me that. So they come down the hill and they basically told me that I had shot a bear and to never talk about it again or go back to that spot. And I never have till now.
Wow. Why now? Why now, you think?
Yeah.
A bear. So they tell you, how ridiculous that sounds? Like you shot a bear, but never come back here or go to this spot ever again.
Yeah.
And also here's a clear picture of the picture you took. That's nutty.
Do you know how ridiculous it is that I was taking clients into the woods hunting and couldn't identify a bear?
I mean, yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous. And I will say it was unexplainable. And why now? I don't know why now. I was very hesitant, like I said, to do this, but so
appreciate it, man. Cause I think a lot of people have had your experience and this is exactly what other people experience and they can't talk about it. So they carry these burdens around, you know?
So what's crazy is that there's a huge following in Southern Oregon for Sasquatch. And there are several groups of people that literally go out and they call and they look around and they do stuff. And, you know, a lot of hunters find like these weird, like house-like things in the middle of nowhere around here. But so fast forward 8 years or what, however many years, I don't know the timeline, and I'm engaged to be married, and the pastor that's doing our marriage counseling has to stop our counseling to talk about this.
Huh. It's like, this is going to be an issue in your marriage. Well, hey, tell me the story. What do you got going on?
So, you know, my fiance at the time and her family think I'm crazy because I've told them the story. And then the pastor's like, dude, he's not making this up. He says, I follow all that stuff and I know who turned him in. And he says, I got that picture and I put it on a thumb drive. He was the only one in existence with the photo. So that's how I still have the photo.
Wow.
He put it on a thumb drive before it disappeared.
So he knew what he was doing.
And I called him the other day and I called all the witnesses and people that were involved and was like, you guys want me to do this? Do you care? And they were all on board. And I just told the pastor, I said, well, you remember who the guy was that turned me in? And this is what he told me. He says, I wouldn't worry about that guy. He was a doctor, but he's gone crazy. He's talking to Sasquatch in the fourth dimension. And he has these people spiritually over trying to connect with Sasquatch and have conversations. He's off his rocker.
Mm. Wow.
So
yeah, that's what happens when you look for this creature for too long. That's what you turn into.
Yeah.
What do you think the FBI was trying to protect? What do you think they were hiding besides just the existence of this thing?
I think the government doesn't want mass chaos. At the time, you know, I think,
yeah.
I mean, look what's going on now is with the UFOs and all this crazy. It's all this weird talk. I don't know what they were trying to do at the time, but I just know that. I mean, I'm a firm believer now. I tell you right now, I'm not in the woods at dark ever again.
That's crazy. And you've hunted your whole life, James, right? I mean, you're a lifelong hunter.
Yeah.
And this changed everything. And I want to point this out too for our listeners, right? As you're listening, is that, you know, in these kind of encounters in the forest, I think hunters are probably the most reliable in the sense that you spend so much time in the woods. You've seen everything. You've seen a bear. You've seen, you know, everything that lives in those woods, and then you have an encounter like this, and you immediately know it's something different. There's a certain amount of acumen you have when you're leading hunts. You hunt all the time. These places you know, especially when you're guiding, right? I mean, I'm not a hunter other than ducks, really, James, but like I fish all the time, right? So I go fishing in Montana with these guides and stuff. And when you're a guide, you know all the places. You've been there 1,000 times. Like, you know where the places to go to take people to be successful. That's what leading and guiding a hunt or a fishing trip is like. So just to ruminate on this point, I know it's sort of ad nauseum, but like there's no way that it's a bear. I just had to just sort of drive that home.
And I've worked guiding in Montana and in Idaho, and I've been around grizzlies and wolves, and you know, I've been around mountain lions a whole bunch. And I'll tell you what, there, and I'm a multi-time combat veteran, and nothing has scared me like that scared me. I'll be straight up 100% honest. That thing scared me.
Yeah.
So
how many agents were in the cars that took you up there?
There was three.
Were they all asking you questions or just one person?
They didn't say a word to me until they were done, and they told me that I had made a mistake and shot a bear and then never come back. And they were serious, just all serious about it.
James, what do you think they were looking for? Because they took you back up to this place, right? So under the guise of that you might have shot a weed farmer, you know, in camouflage or a ghillie suit, right? Like, but they go up there. Like, what do you think they're doing up there? I think they're looking for that body.
Yeah, because it wasn't just a quick thing. I mean, it wasn't just 5 minutes. They're on the hill. They were trailing up and down the ridge. They disappeared off the backside for a while. I mean, they were definitely. I think they were looking for it for sure. And I think that if they had found it, it'd have been a whole different ball game.
How much time had passed between you shooting it and them taking you up there?
See, that's the stuff I don't remember because it was so long ago. I would venture to think between a few weeks and a month.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's fairly soon, right? Where you wouldn't have.
Yeah, it wasn't a year later. No.
Yeah, so there'd still be a carcass or a body.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they're intimidating you by taking you back to that place?
You know, looking back now, I think so. Especially being a young man, you know, you're terrified. You might be doing the rest of your life in prison, and you've never done anything wrong. You know,
right.
But and that's why I guess I'm so scared to re-talk about it, because I really don't want that. I got kids now, and you know, it's like it's kind of scary.
Totally. I mean,
do you think you killed it?
I think so. I think that I wouldn't put it past it. They told me my story. I went about my life, and they went up there and retrieved it. Yeah. I would not put it past.
Do you have any hesitation looking through the scope at shooting it, or was it a?
No,
not at all.
No, nope. That's one thing. I don't have any hesitation, you know, and with bears and stuff, hunting bears, you know, I take a lot of time before I shoot a bear, especially if it has cubs or whatever. I mean, I'm watching them for a long time before I harvest a bear, but
yeah, and I point that out because you were in a position where you felt like it was you were it, right? Like this was like imminent danger.
Too close. We were too close. And when the thing stood up, I was there was no doubt in my mind that it was taken around.
And you were like, because you couldn't get, you're on a 50 too. You're like, I can't get out of here. Like you're
uphill. I would have had to rip the bike around sideways, kickstart it. And then try to, I mean, that's just ridiculous. There was no way. We were both just as surprised to see each other. You know, and another thing I'd like to point out is like the Roger Patterson film, that thing, you had breasts, had a baby, you could see muscles moving on it. I mean, I've went way down this rabbit hole since this whole thing.
Yeah.
They didn't even have the technology to make a costume like that back then.
Yep.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that people can't identify the obvious now that they've been able to put that thing in 4K and blow it up and clean it up and look at it. It's unlike anything else that's been filmed. But did when it stood up, how big was this thing? Did you get a good feel of how tall it was? And was it a male or female?
You know, honestly, I was not paying attention to any of that at that point in time. I know it was big. I know it was big. And I know I'll put its body like build on par with like Mike Tyson, no neck, just jacked. I mean, you can, it in the picture, you can see the arm muscle situation with it, you know?
So Mike Tyson with or without the face tattoo, which era are we talking?
It probably had a face tattoo, I would think.
Did you look, you didn't look at it through the scope, did you? You probably just,
oh yeah, I just pulled up and shot. There was no, you know, 70 yards isn't that long. I mean, how fast can a professional athlete run 70 yards? I mean, and something like that, that's just bred for the woods, you know? Yeah.
I mean, you're less than 10 seconds on someone, on a fast human.
Yes. And it had the advantage on me. And you know, it's like, no, I'm not taking a chance with that. Even if it was a bear and it was coming at me, I would have probably, you know, been pretty concerned.
Did your mind tell you at that moment that you're looking at Sasquatch? Or
my mind told me that I had, it was unexplained. My mind was just baffled. And it was split seconds of like trying to figure out what I was going to do, you know? And like I said, I was so scared. I ejected a round out of the chamber and put another one in. Bullet in the chamber. I was like, hold, this is the real deal. Whatever what I'm about to do, this is like me or it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think sometimes I've heard stories when hunters have this situation, they're kind of watching it from a distance and they can't pull the trigger because they don't have like a life-threatening situation. But obviously you think it's coming at you, so you got to pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's where I was at. And you know, Southern Oregon, it's really thick. If anyone's ever been in the woods around here, it's usually really thick. It's like really rainforesty in those thick bottoms. And you know, there's a lot of forage on the clear cuts, you know, berries. There's just so much habitat here for animals. But I was in the thick bottom, coming up the bottom, trying to get to the top of this ridge. Yeah. I could actually do some glass and look for a deer. But it was probably leaving the area that I was going to look into all morning. It was probably leaving that, going into the timber to go bed up or do whatever it was going to do.
When it took off running, you said you saw it take off running. Was it like flying through the woods, or what did you see there?
It was literally cresting the ridge line to come into the drainage that I was in as I was getting to the top of the drainage. So when it stood, it just turned around 180 and it just ran straight back the way it came, and it disappeared in a split second.
Man.
You know, and who knows? I could have hit it in the arm, but I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure I smoked it right square in the chest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think you must have though, right? I mean, I'll say you must have though, right? Because otherwise, I mean, if you hit it in the arm, I doubt you're having a three-letter agency in investigation, and that just to me sounds like you got it, right? Like if you're winging a Sasquatch, that no one cares to come.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's 100% chance that the unexplainable creature that I shot died for sure.
As you said, when you're going back with the FBI, they're looking for something.
Yep.
On the way up there,
we pretty much just drove right to.
That's so crazy.
Pretty close to that spot, and then walked right to that spot. I mean, off of a skid road, and they pretty much just, like I said, had me sit there with the state entity, and they did their thing, and then we were done.
You think your cell phone, like they pinged your cell phone off the towers and triangulated your location?
No other way. There's no other way that they could have done that. I wasn't sitting there, turn left, go right. You know, right. No, there was none of that.
And it was just you? No one else came with you?
Nope. Everyone that I brought from Corvallis with me stayed at the staging area.
Man.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind then?
Oh, I knew this was the real deal. I was pretty scared. I was more like just scared for my future at that point, you know? So, and you know, everyone still talks about it to this day. I mean, all those people that I sent the pictures to, I mean, if they could have been on the show today, they'd all tell you their side of that story and how, you know, we thought he was full of crap until he was rolling up the road with black SUVs and stuff. I mean,
yeah. I can understand why you didn't want to talk about it. I mean, I appreciate you talking about it. I think more people need to come out and tell their stories, especially in this time.
Well, it's like over the last, you know, 15 years or however many years it's been, I don't even know verbatim, but you know how many people have came to me telling me about accounts, you know, because it's not like it's a secret in the valley here what I did. It's a secret worldwide, but how many loggers are like, dude, I have seen him rolling up to the deck at 3 a.m. and they're sleeping on a cat staying warm. Or, you know, I know this old boy out in Shady Cove that used to feed him apples. That's came to me. And he was on our landing every morning. And to keep him away, I would just put apples out at the end of the day. You know, just stories like that.
Well, you say you get down the hill and your uncle's got stories like right away, right? You're like, you never tell me about this. You never told me these things were out there.
Well, because it doesn't exactly instill integrity when you're talking about folklore, you know.
Agreed.
So, you know, but I mean, I've dove way down. I mean, this goes way back to Native American days. I mean,
That's the thing. People often come and say this is some kind of modern phenomenon, and you realize that, I mean, this is a pretty ancient thing that's been going on
all this time. You know, I didn't even realize my cousin's wife is like a super believer, and somehow we were just talking about crazy things, and then Sasquatch came up, and I felt obligated to tell him, and then he's reaching out to you guys. It's like, oh my gosh, here we go.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thanks for the blurry fam out there that helped kind of get these stories onto the air. What are your thoughts now, James? What do you think this creature is now that you've had all these experiences and you've looked into it and you saw one in the face? And
I'm a firm believer for sure. I think that nothing is impossible in this world.
But what kind of creature is it? Is it human like? Is it animal like? Is it?
I think it's a very intelligent human like animal. I think that
is it from Earth or is it from somewhere else? I mean, how you can get as weird as you want, you know?
Is
it from here?
I think it's from here.
It's old. It's an old creature.
It's a relic.
Well, you know, since then, you know, you know how many times I've been hunting in the woods and hear a quad coming up the road, or I'm in Eastern Oregon and I'm like, here comes a quad, and I just step 20 feet off the road and I just stand there and they drive right past me, eyes peeled, looking for an animal, don't even notice me. I mean, how often do people hit deer that they don't even see till last second? I mean, if something has any bit of intelligence, it can smell. If it has good smelling, I mean, look at a bear can smell from 1,000 yards away. So it's not hard to hide.
And it didn't react at all when you yelled at it.
No, I don't think it knew what to do.
Was it like startled at all?
It just was kind of swaying left or right. You know, I think it was trying to decide what it was going to do. And it reminds me of that. It's kind of bad to say, but what's that Strange Wilderness? Have you guys seen that movie?
I haven't.
Oh my God. They go on a Sasquatch hunt and they find it and it's in a cave and it comes out just to stretch its arms and yawn, and they got freaked out and they put like 1,000 rounds into it. They killed it. It's just like, you know, it kind of reminds me of that. Like it was kind of swaying back to forth and I was like, well, that was enough for me to know it wasn't a bear. Like I can just, was going through its head, like, what am I gonna do here?
So people in your community know you had this experience and you said they continue to this day. When's the last time someone came to you and talked to you about their Sasquatch experience?
You know, it comes up a couple times a year, you know, especially sitting around a campfire or something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
people write you off. People get weird to you. People.
No.
Did it cause any?
I think more people believe than don't, especially here. There's just, I think too many wit, you know, accounts. I think people literally just, they believe, you know, and the fact that everyone that got the picture still to this day is like, yeah, it deleted off my phone.
That's so crazy. That's one of the weirder parts of that. Yeah.
Like reaffirms to so many people. Cause the few times that I've had people in question, I start calling the witnesses and I'm just like, hey, remember this story. Remember what's your account? Just don't even talk to me. Just talk to them. And then they get the 50 million questions and then they get off the phone. They're like, yeah, that really happened. Yeah, it did.
Crazy. Do you wish in some ways now, James, that you would track it after that, or are you glad you split ways with it after shooting it?
If I had more firepower, maybe, but no, not with having four bullets to my name.
Yeah.
Not doing it. I that thing, like I said, it scared me.
I think that speaks to the sort of the situation and the size of this thing as well. Right. If you don't feel comfortable with four rounds going out, you know, tracking this thing down, and it was an imminent threat within 70 yards. I mean, that's a big, scary something you've never seen in the woods.
Yeah, and I'm in its home. So
right, and I mean, and I think too, what adds credence to this too is that, I mean, having not only be a hunter all the time, but having been, you know, a multiple tour combat veteran, and I can imagine that there's not really much that would scare you. I mean, you've been in the fog of war, you've been to war multiple times, you hunted bear, you've seen everything there is in the woods. It's just that to me is just another qualifying thing there. Just the fact that this thing just doesn't register to you when you see it, because it's terrifying. You know, it's
yeah. These are the stories that changed my life, James. Like, I would listen to people talk like on Coast to Coast and different podcasts about, and it was always the hunters and the ex-military and the ex Park Service.
Yeah.
Police officers. You heard enough of those. I heard about 50 of those stories, and I finally was like, okay, all the details you've described, they would do the same thing. And you just go, there's something, this is not, what is happening?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, hearing them talk about multiple encounters the same, and then having the state entity talk about doing search and rescues up behind Mount Ashland and in the snow and seeing these tracks and, you know, and then a lot of people around here have found like these huts were like trees that are 25, 30 feet tall or bent over. They're not snapped.
Yeah.
It's just too much weird, unexplainable.
The nests, man. Those things are wild.
The most famous kill story, there was a guy, I think his name was Justin, in Northern California. I think he was from actually Yuba City near us, that shot one. Do you hear that story, James, about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it was like probably 15 years ago or so, or maybe a little. He shot one, and then the Bigfoot community kind of grilled him, but he left it. So he shot it. It was, I think it was a female. He left it, and then he was afraid, and then he went back. He didn't want to pack it out because he didn't know what was going to happen if he got stopped. But he told his story, and I remember it sticking with me because he was from Northern California. But this isn't the first time I've heard these encounters where people shoot the thing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that it seems confused. When people have encounters with Sasquatch, they almost know what's going on. Like, you would think that they have seen us more than we've seen them. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's like swaying and it doesn't just take off? Like, why is it so confused?
I don't know. I think it's an apex predator too. I'd like to put that out there. I know mm-hmm. that, you know, humans are an apex predator, but if we didn't have the technology that we have, we would not be. You know, very rarely do you see a mountain lion wandering through the middle of nowhere during the day. You know, they stick to the tree lines and the shadows, and, you know, it's the prey that is vulnerable, you know. And I think that it's just hard to believe, you know, but I think it's just because it's an apex predator. I truly believe that.
Are the arms on this thing and the legs on this thing, like, are they proportionate to humans, or are they something else? Did you get a good look at the arms when it's
yeah, swinging? I mean, that's what teed me off, is that the arms were massive. That's what teed, and it didn't have a neck. There was no neck to be had.
No neck. I played football with some guys like that, so I know how scary that is.
Yeah.
He was a linebacker.
Oh, you were?
No, this creature was.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it had no neck, man. It had no neck. That's what, the neck and the arms are what teed me off. And like, it had massive shoulders. So, I mean, that's really what I was in my head. I was like, all right, that is not normal. Bear has.
Besides the Patterson-Gimlin film, have you seen any pictures that remind you of what you saw?
No, not. I mean, trust me, I've watched every TV show there is, but I mean, I think a lot of stuff is a hoax. I think the untold stories, like the rare ones you hear, are probably the more, I don't think people that really see it are out looking for fame, you know?
Agreed. Do you think, James, do you think they monitored you for a while, even after?
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah. I think you were smart not to head back there if they told you not to, because
I never once went back.
I just find it, it's just curious. It's just the it's so curious, right? Like, the why the FBI so involved and interested in the, you know, the shooting recovery of a cryptid, or a, you know, sort of a legendary creature, is interesting. It's just a, and it's not just your story isn't unique in that, right? Like, there's a lot of stories that circulate out there about the three-letter agencies showing up when something like this happens around this creature. And it's kind of like, I'm always wondering what is it they're hiding or want to stay hidden. I mean, obviously you talk about where you live, and you talk about where, you know, things like our show, and there's a million other shows I hear that talk about the reality and lay a case for Sasquatch, for Bigfoot, right? It's not like people don't believe, but it's just interesting. It's interesting that the response seems to be, you know, from the government to sort of whisk these things away and intimidate and shut up those that have seen it or encountered it.
I think it kind of goes back to like the World War II era, you know, propaganda. I think back then people actually really, really relied on the government. And so I think they hid a lot of things to kind of keep the peace with the public. But I think we're in a day and age now where the public wants to know. The public's getting interested. Start going down weird rabbit holes.
I think that you make an interesting point about what we talk about the show is communication, right? Like the fact that everybody has a camera and access to the internet in the palm of their hand. And you're right. Like, you know, in the World War II era, you got your news from the newspaper or from like three or four channels on TV, right? The idea of the flow of information was easily controlled and capped. You know, things like a podcast, like right now, right? Like these things are still operate with a big amount of freedom to talk about it and to you talk about things like this, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you think your uncle went back up there?
No, he never went back up there. He actually just recently passed away too of cancer. So
sorry,
he's not a reliable source anymore.
But at least you had him. You know, I think you had having somebody to talk to about it.
Oh, as soon as I came off that hill and told him what was going on, his eyes got wide and he was like, listen, nephew, like and he logged from day one of his life till the bitter end. I mean, he was a logger through and through, setting chokers, doing all the stuff. And he was like, no doubt in my head, you probably did shoot one.
It's crazy, so, man.
He was like, that's crazy. And then, yeah. And then we always just kind of had that in common.
Was that the first time you in counseling when you told your story, your wife heard it? What does she think?
Well, I had told her like prior, like, you know, kind of like just in all fun and games. And, you know, then she ran and told her entire family. And, you know, that's set off a slew of questions and, you know, doubt. And then, but they're like very, very like cult-like religious, I would say. I hate to say that about them, but it's true. But they, once he told them the story and what he had heard and from the Bigfoot, the BFRO people and everything else, then they were on board, you know, and then they were believers, you know. Now they're like, they, you know, at Christmas, you're getting Bigfoot sweatshirts and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, dude. You know,
that's when it happens.
My kids are firm believers. I mean, you know, they're little girls, but boy, they've got Bigfoot books and Bigfoot. I mean, anytime that's anything Bigfoot, they got to be a part of it.
Well, you're among friends now, so I.
Yeah,
man, what a James wild story, man. Thank you for coming on. You got to thank was it your friends or your sister that connected you with Nate?
Better be careful because you might have like 20 other people wanting to come on your show now and tell their story. You might have a whole saga.
Well, dude, we'll make a series out of it then. Very episodic.
The saga. No, I love that. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
But that's my little story, my little crazy story, and yeah, that's really all I got about it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, man. You know, it's hard to tell these stories after the fact. And obviously you got spooked.
I will tell you, if I come across another one, I'll tell you right now, technology anymore with phone scopes and spotting scopes and all this stuff, it'll be a whole nother shebang. I come across one this next time, as long as it's at a safe distance. A lot more versed in long range shooting now too.
And did anyone else tell you they shot the thing?
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I've never heard that. It's always a thing of terror. There was some lady I remember that had told me that her great grandmother way back in the old days had one that was like trying to befriend her and at her house. I remember hearing that. I thought that was fast.
Yeah. Yeah. We've heard a couple stories like that. Like,
okay. I found the guy's info. His name is Justin Smeja. And he allegedly shooting of two Bigfoots in 2010. There's a film about it.
Wow.
It's called Dead Bigfoot, A True Story. So they actually
not one but two, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, Nat Geo did a thing on it as well. So you can find him, Justin Smeja, if you want to look into it. He's been on a bunch of shows since, and he said he's killed him.
James, you got to get your numbers up, man. Yeah. This guy got two.
No publicity.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, right? This is something I wanted to kind of end on, is the BFRO does not like this. They don't want it killed and touched. So you have this whole part of the Bigfoot community that says, no, don't kill it. Almost like PETA, you know, of like the Bigfoot world. Like, let's not harm this thing. And then you have a whole other section of Bigfooters who say that we need to kill one to prove that it exists so we can go from there.
I'm
in the middle. I like it to stay a little bit of a mystery. It keeps our show going.
I think it's a jealousy thing.
Yeah.
I challenge those Bigfoot filled researchers to be face to face with one and not be about piddling their pants and shoot one themselves. I challenge them to do that. Oh no.
Do you think we need to pull one out of the woods?
I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think so. Yeah. I think that one needs to be researched.
Yeah,
for sure. They,
you know, I heard about loggers, you know, because you were talking about logging, who had to sign contracts that said if they ran into them, they couldn't talk. They had to sign like a NDA.
Yeah. And I've heard stories too. I've never looked into it, but I've heard that in some states it's an endangered species and you're not allowed to kill it. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I have heard that. I've just never looked through every single.
I know Texas supposedly has that law.
Well, if it's true, why would they have it?
I was like, didn't we talk to the JJ about this in Oklahoma as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, yeah. We brought on the congressman who was organizing a Bigfoot hunt in Oklahoma City, and I think he just didn't choose the right words. Everyone thought that they were going to kill it. He said, no, just hunt for it, not kill it, you know?
Unless you're James and you're 70 yards down, you know, you got to...
Unless it's coming after your...
You need to kill one because you could get the best video evidence ever and someone's going to say that it was staged.
Always, man. Always. Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, bring one to the table.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. You can have a picture, you can have a photo, you can have samples, you can have all the, and it still won't be enough for some people. So
I'm not saying strap it to the hood of your truck and parade it through town, you know, but I'm saying bring it to the table.
Yeah. Listen, Harry, just throw it on the roof of the old wagon and just drive it through Washington. That's the only way. If you're gonna kill Bigfoot, you got to throw him in like the original station wagon,
or a 78 sheep, or 78 sheepdog. I don't know what Harry you were talking about, but
oh my god,
Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
Harry Dunn and Lloyd Christmas. Okay, gotcha. All
right. Yeah, you got to get the family truckster. Throw him on that. Drive him home.
There you go.
Well, James, thank you for
thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. And I just want to point out again that that appreciate you taking the time. I know you haven't really told the story. You haven't told the story publicly, and it's been, you know, more than a decade. I think you're somewhere around the measure between a decade and 15 years since this has happened. So appreciate you doing that with us and trusting us with your story. Do you have any other run-ins?
Or if you run into anyone who has a crazy experience and tells you a story and you think it's worthy, always hit us up.
Yeah.
Oh, I know several people that would probably just love to tell their story. And
man,
double sources too, but I mean, I'd have to ask.
Sure.
I'll shoot you our email and they can reach out. And I think Luke and I are on a mission to try to like bring light, because it's not just Bigfoot. There's all these other creatures out there. People run into giants and dogman and you name it. Skinwalkers and rakes and
little people.
Wendigos. The little people. Luke's favorite.
Dude, I have a buddy that has little people houses all over in the middle of nowhere.
Wow. He builds them?
No, he keeps running across them hunting in the woods.
Man, this is now you got Nate's juices going here.
Legit.
Have him send an email so we can get Luke's
legit photos. I'm like in the middle of nowhere.
Send him our way. That's wild.
I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah, that's wild.
So
we appreciate it, man. We laugh about it just because it's almost like there has to be a lot of truth to all these stories, because it's just every day someone comes on. They come on our show to talk about something else and they're like, oh, I've seen the little people. They'll just drop that in the middle of it. And we're like, wait, what? That's not what we're talking about. Why did you choose to just say that at the end? You know,
yep.
It happens every time.
Well, thanks, man. I know you're a busy guy, so thanks for the time today. And,
hey, I'm sorry for the rough start this morning.
Oh, good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have a blessed day, though, and hope the
you this too.
Is podcast does well for you.
Thank you, brother.
No, appreciate that. That's great, man. Thank you.
You guys have a...
All right. Be good. Thanks.
Bye.